chapter 12. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12. And we'll just get into the Word here and just let the Holy Ghost have His way through the preaching of His Word. And if your flesh gets in a rush this morning, just tell it to hush up. Amen. If your flesh just starts saying, I'm ready to get out of here, just listen to your spirit. Because the Bible tells us that the Spirit is willing and the Spirit is ready. That tells us what the Spirit is. The flesh is weak. It's your enemy. It is pathetic. So sometimes Derek Jones' flesh says, it's time to eat. And Derek Jones' spirit says, it's time to pray. Amen. So we're going to just, we don't conform to flesh. We conform to the Spirit of God. So just get in here. Let's have church this morning. Hebrews chapter 12. Just a few verses of Scripture. And we're going to start reading in verse 28 and just verses 29. 28 and 29. And we'll preach with the Lord's help this morning. When you're there, give me a good amen. Amen. Hebrews 12 and 28. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Verse 28, notice this. Goes on to say, let us have grace. Grace is a popular subject in the church. Hyper grace. Unconditional grace. Those things are real. And they're true. But why did we receive the grace of God in the first place? That we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Reverence and godly fear. And with the Holy Ghost's help today, I want to preach for a few moments on the anatomy of godly fear. I preached along these lines before, but I felt in my spirit as I was praying even early this morning that some need to hear this. There's lines that are being erased in the church that if we're not careful, there's ground that is being lost that if we're not careful, it will never be regained. Amen. Lines such as parent and child. Amen. You notice that line's beginning to move a lot. It's disappearing. And now there's barely any difference. The parents act like children and the children act like parents. Amen. It's true. There's lines such as student and teacher. Come on. Nowadays you hear about scandals with teachers with students. There's lines such as pastor and congregation. That line's disappearing. Amen. A pastor's not a puppet. He's a preacher. He hears from God. And he acts on that. Just as Brother Glenn did. There's a line there. I have responsibility, and you do too. But the most, with all those lines dissipating, the most critical one that's disappearing is God and us. God and us. We cannot make Him a four-footed beast like everybody else. Amen. We cannot bring Him down to our level. God is to be feared, and He is to be reverenced. Let me tell you why many have trouble with commitment to God. Because you don't fear Him.
That's right.
Let me tell you why we have trouble with people being faithful to church services. Because people do not fear Him.
Yeah.
Amen. Now I'm just going to preach what the Holy Ghost gave me. And if your toes get stepped on, smile. Because I'm going to preach what the Word says. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and thank You today. Oh, God, for the opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. God, to come before You, Lord Jesus, with an open heart. Lord, to come before You, God, with reverence and godly fear. You are to be reverenced, my Lord. You are to be reverenced, my Lord Jesus Christ. And I love You with all of my heart, Holy Ghost. And I appreciate Your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord today. Praise the Lord. Amen. And my voice is fighting me today, so just pray with me. And if I have to, I might have to turn the PA up a little bit. My voice is just fighting me. But hear me today, friend. Have you ever considered the famous hymn, Amazing Grace? And the second stanza of that hymn says this, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." We would understand that the life of John Newton there, that he was the one that penned these amazing words. And that most likely his conversion was due to the intense godly fear he felt when he was on a boat. And a storm rose up in white-capped waves and the boat was rocking back and forth. And most likely in that instance he feared God to the place that he felt, if I do not pray, if I do not give my life to Him, I will not make it another day. There was an intense godly fear that was inside of him, that he knew that he must get right with God, that he must get saved. The same thing happened when I got saved that night. I didn't know if I'd make it another day. I didn't know if I would survive another service. I didn't know what happened. I didn't know if I would live another week. And I had to get right with God. Hear me today, because this is something that's very important. Because we believe sometimes that when we godly fear is in our hearts, that we get born again. We come to an altar. We pray through. We pray the tears of repentance. And we come and we pray through. Why is it that we do not fear or do not feel that same godly fear is needed to keep you a Christian? We brag about it when we get saved. I feared God and I got saved. Well, I'm going to say you need to fear God and stay saved. Amen. You ought to fear God every day. You ought to fear God every morning. You ought to be intimidated by His presence. That when you come to the house of God, it's not a casual event. It's not something you come here just to play patty cake. But you come here because you reverence Him. You worship Him. You fear Him. And when His presence comes into our midst, we throw up our hands to a thrice holy God and know that He's holy. And know that He's divine. And know that He knows what's in our hearts. It's our anemic view of God that causes us to live as casual as we do at times. We start tippy-toeing around God like a sleeping giant. I'm afraid He'll find out what I did this week. He knows! I'm afraid what He's going to hear. Just understand what I did. He sees it! He's not a sleeping giant somewhere. Our God is forever awake. He's forever seeing. He's forever hearing. He knows what comes across the screen. He knows what words come out of your mouth. He knows the thoughts that run through your mind. He knows where you go. He knows everything about us. And that causes me to fear Him. That causes me to reverence Him. Hear me today, friend, because we must understand this. We have sometimes such a superficial walk with God because we really do not fear Him. Amen. Hear me. You said, Brother Derek, what do you mean fear God? He loves me. I'm so sick of that sloppy agape. Yes, it's unconditional love. But it ain't that fuzzy feeling you're going to feel every day. The love of God requires something of us. He's forgiven us, so we serve Him. He's forgiven us, so we worship Him. He's forgiven us, so we police ourselves, that we do not come underneath the mastery of this flesh. Hear me today. Because I believe it's vital. If you're lost here today, you should fear Him. A hell is real. Oh God, I feel conviction in this house this morning. Hell is real. Those flames are real. That's not a fairy tale you're told in Sunday school. But I tell you, there is a place. There is outer darkness. There is a place where the worm dieth not. There is a place. There's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the only thing that's going to send you there is the sin that separates you from the holy God of heaven. And it's that fear that should drive you to an altar when the altar call is given. Shouldn't take you 30 seconds to hesitate all the time. No. Fear God and run to Him. Yeah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. Now, if you're a believer here today, you still fear God. Hear me. This is important. But we don't fear God as the sinner fears God. The sinner fears God because of damnation. He's underneath judgment. He's underneath all that. But the believer fears God as a reverence to a heavenly Father. As a believer, you fear God because you know He feels. You reverence Him. That's more of the idea of reverence. I remember when I was younger and used to get in trouble with the police when I was a younger teenager. You know one thing I feared? Going to my Father. Did He love you? Oh yeah. He loved me. But it hurt Him. I remember walking through the garage one day, Brother Ken. I got another ticket. Had a rebellion. I see my dad over there working on the lawnmower. And I said, Dad, here's the ticket I got today. You know what? I thought he was going to be so mad and frustrated. But he looked at me with tears in his eyes and said, Son, when are you going to straighten up? I'd rather him whip me like a 5-year-old. I'd rather him chasing me. I'd rather him took his belt off and give me a whipping to look at me and say that. But I want to tell you, believer today, I want to tell you those that are born again, when you look to heaven and you know that you've got to serve Him, you know what He's done for you, you're not really afraid as a believer of the judgment of God, but you're afraid because He feels it. Shut up, Motai. Oh, God of heaven, help me. God does not disconnect Himself from you. When we fail Him, Brother Ken, He sees it. And He comes to us with love. And He lets us know, I'm not pleased with that. I'm not happy with that, Derek. I'm not happy with that, brother. I'm not happy with that, sister. I'm not happy with that, my son. I'm not happy with that. I feel it. And it grieves my spirit. It should cause us to fear Him. But godly fear is missing. Oh, hear me today. Holy Ghost, lead us in this service. You didn't get saved just to get out of jail free card. You didn't just get a card and say, look, I'm forgiven. I'm going to do what I want. No, sir. No, ma'am. You got saved and you became a servant of a king. You understand this today? You're a slave in this building today. You're either a slave to sin and the devil, or you're bound to Jesus Christ and He's your master. You do not get saved just to walk about and do what you want and go where you want and do anything that you want to. But you get saved to come underneath the subjection of a King of kings and a Lord of lords who rescued you out of bondage and cruel slavery. That word servant in Scripture, Paul a servant, James a servant, Jude a servant. Look that word up in the Greek. It means slave. Bond servant of Jesus Christ. And I don't know anybody else I'd rather be a slave to.
Amen, amen.
When you are a slave to the devil, what a cruel taskmaster he was.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Derek, get up. Derek, go here. Derek, be this. Derek, smoke this. Or Derek, drink this. What a cruel taskmaster he was. But when I came unto Jesus and He broke the chains, He chained me to Himself and says, Derek, work for me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. What a master we serve.
Amen. Amen. Glory.
Hear me today, friend. David understood it when he said this, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? And David would go on to say this, if I ascend up into the heaven, thou art there. He goes on to say, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there.
Yeah.
You know what David was saying? He was saying, it doesn't matter where I go, God's there.
Yeah.
Maybe if I just get to the worship service and just put it on just like I'm serving, you know. If I raise my hands. At least if I go to church and dress like, you know. Maybe nobody would know. It doesn't matter if I know God does. You know what we need to practice? Coming to this altar, an open book before God. Not saying, God, you know, here I go, Lord, maybe you'll find out, patty cake. No. But look at God and say, you know me, you've seen me, you know what it is. It'll save you a long work. It'll save you a lot of work and a lot of trouble if you learn to be open before the face of God.
Conviction's here this morning. They ain't going to be shrugged off easily. Hear me. We've got to practice living before the face of God all day long. Every single day. Picture the face of God looking at you with eyes of love and kindness, but no, He's there. You can't sit down at a computer and shut the door. You're still not alone. You can't go to the places of this world and enjoy and rejoice in sin. The Lord's still there. David said, if I was in heaven, or if I make my bed in hell, you are there. Hear me. I'll tell you what the problem is. Many people would not commit certain sins in front of others. When fornication and adultery usually takes place, it's in the dark, it's in the private for the most part. When somebody has a habit they don't want nobody about, don't want nobody to know about, they shut the door. When people, you know, maybe if I get around a certain group, they won't tell nobody. I feel welcome among them. But you know what that shows us? You fear the opinion of man more than you do the opinion of God. Because if you wouldn't commit certain sins in front of Brother Derek, but you're comfortable going in private and committing in front of God, something's wrong. It shows us you care more about man's opinion than you do the God of heaven. Do not fear those that can destroy the body, but fear Him that can destroy the body and the soul. I'll take it a step further. We're doing the anatomy of godly fear. I've got the scalpel here. We're cutting a little deeper. Some of you wouldn't commit sin in front of me or anybody in this church. And you wouldn't even really go as far as to commit the act. But your thoughts are perverted with the thoughts of the acts. I would today, in the name of Jesus, that some of you would come into complete victory. God doesn't just want you to overcome external sins. God wants you even to overcome the sins of your thought life. I like my wife's old pastor, Brother Herod. Well, he's country. He said it like this: you can't help when a bird flies over your head, but you can help when he makes a nest there. Hear me. I understand there's times that thoughts are going to come, but understand you don't have to entertain the thoughts. Cast down imaginations and take that dedicated thought into the obedience of Christ. Could it be that God has given you that thought life to see how much you fear Him? I'm telling you, I still feel the Holy Ghost here this morning. God wants us to be victorious in everything we do. Understand throughout Scripture there is an outline of what godly fear is. We understand that God is the object of that very fear. But God is also the author of it. We would find in Jeremiah it says this, with the 39 and verse 40 of chapter 32, "And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that they will not turn away from them, and to do them good, but I will put fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me." The fear of God acts as a restraint in your life. Temptation comes your way, and you start thinking, that seems very tempting. But on top of that, you say, He's watching me. A
and that is traitor. We will pull you to the direction, if you really fear God, away from the sin. See, the fear of God acts as a restraint in your life. Also understand, it says the fear of God is the hatred of evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, and the evil way. And a forward mouth do I hate. It's letting us know that the fear of God will cause you to hate sin. And if you can sit down and drink a milkshake with it all the time, there's a problem. If you sit down and you can smile and giggle with them, and act like you got rigor mortis in the house of God, something's wrong. The fear of God would cause you to hate sin. We also understand the fear of God. Notice this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm going to put it in North Carolina terms. The fear of God is the kindergarten of wisdom. A, B, C, D, EFG. Understand? You take a kid that's in kindergarten and put him in architecture class, he's going to sit there and say, I ain't got a clue what's going on, Mom. I'm ready to go home. Because he does not have the basic foundation. He does not know what math is. He never got that into education. But the Bible tells us that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I'm trying to say this in these terms. Don't expect to be spiritually mature if you don't fear God. Amen. Don't expect to get on the platform and lead if you're not mature in Christ. Makes sense, doesn't it? Don't desire leadership roles or I've got the Lord, I want to, you know, it's amazing. You got 12, 13, 14, 15 year old girls at times that need to be seeking other things, that need to be seeking the things of God, setting their affection on the things above. And they're looking for everything else. But if you don't get the foundation right, this building will fall down. You may be 25 or 30. Your life is in the mess and you want to know why and you want to blame it on God, but it wasn't Him. You just did not find godly fear at the beginning of your salvation. I would today, if some of you have bypassed it, won't you go back and look at it? It's a sure foundation. I dare say the fear of God's kept me, Brother Glenn. When I first got saved, you know, temptations come in every other hand. But I remember getting back in the back of a container at work one time when I used to load containers. Had a few hours break, got crawled in the back of that container, laid on that dirty floor, and I cried out for God, for victory in my mind, for victory in my life, for victory over sin and temptation. You said, Brother Dan, what drove you to prayer? It was godly fear. Brother Dan, what drove you to the Word? It was godly fear. Brother Dan, what kept you going to church faithfully? It was godly fear. Brother Dan, why'd you show up to Sunday school? Because of godly fear. I needed to know more about Him. I needed to serve Him. And I dare say, if we're not careful, we'll ruin the whole project if we don't get back to it. Godly fear calls you to doze off in church all the time if you don't respect Him, if you don't fear Him. Godly fear calls you not to prepare for the sermon. If you don't have godly fear, it will cause you not to be receptive to His Word. Because if we're not careful, we think in our flesh that we've got it. But you need to find an order and say, God, I don't have it. You do. He said, Brother Derek, you practice this. I had that convention this weekend. You know, you put out a lot as a preacher. I was taken in this weekend. The minister's breakfast yesterday morning, Brother Woods, and I'd like to have him come through sometime. Phenomenal Bible teacher. And he don't cut around the corners for preachers. He laid it down the line. You know what I had to say? Amen, and Lord forgive me. I want above it, and godly fear required it. Hear me today, friend. I'll try not to be much longer. There's a fear of the judgment that's coming. Understand today, the Bible tells us, and I'm not going to read the verses in 2 Corinthians 5, 9, and 4. It tells us there that there's going to be a day of judgment for the believer and the unbeliever. We've got a messed up mentality of heaven. We're just going to be jump roping through the gates, you know. Right past the throne. Laying on the golden streets, feeding in the fishing in the crystal sea, and look, there's my mansion, Jesus, thank you, Lord. There's going to be a day of judgment even for the believer. And for the unbeliever. Hear me today, friend, because this is important. We can look all through the Bible, and I don't have time to go over every example I had this morning. But there's a man by the name of Joseph. We know the story of Joseph. He was taken into captivity. He was sold to Potiphar's house. And we know the story of Potiphar's wife and a wandering guy. She was attracted to Joseph, and then she tried to seduce him. But Joseph said this, because I have his wife, you are a married woman. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph and Potiphar's wife was all alone. Nobody will know Joseph. Nobody will see it. But thank God Joseph had enough godly fear. He said, Miss Potiphar, I don't know who you think you're kidding. Your husband may be on a ship somewhere, and the servants may be out eating Taco Bell. I don't know. But this is a fact. God's here.
Right.
And what Joseph was saying is, I'd rather go to prison, Potiphar's wife, than commit adultery with you.
Right.
You know what we need again? Some courage with our convictions. Shallow convictions at times. It don't take but one battle. We're all God. It's just, Lord, I can't make it another day, Lord. They didn't get my burger right. They didn't do this just right. I know, you know what? We need to call up the spiritual maturity and say, God, if I have to go to prison, I'm going to keep my integrity in Christ. Not only that, but later on in Joseph's life, when he's standing before his brethren, they felt surely he was going to kill them. And Joseph said unto them the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If you fear God, it'll cause you to forgive. I'm going to say that again. Because some of you may have an ought against your brother tucked away in your spirit. That you've flaunted around that thing for years. But if you fear God, it'll make you stand up and say, look, I'm wrong in this area. Forgive me. It won't call you. Won't come to church and worship God over it and smile over it. A true sense of godly fear will cause you to live a godly life. Understand, I'm going to move along to skip some points, but understand, Hebrews 11 and 7, it says this, by faith Noah, being warned of God of the things not yet not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Moved with fear. I just see Noah one day. He's heard from Methuselah. He's heard from different ones. Judgment's coming. God reveals it to him. And Noah begins to cringe in his spirit. And he says, Lord, I don't know what to do. Everything's going to die. All this humanity's going to die. God says, build a boat, Noah. And God, before the Bible says, and Noah being warned of God of things not seen as yet, move with fear. There's a rapture coming, church. Hear me. There's a rapture coming. And yes, as believers, we're going to embrace it. It is joyous. But you had enough integrity to say, God, I want to build a boat to the saving of my family. Must we lead selfish lives that we feel if I make it, it's all right? Or should we say, I want my children, I want my cousins, I want my church family, I want everybody that I know to make it. And it moves you with fear. And even though we ain't really building a boat in this world, spiritually in the world, in the spiritual world, you're sowing and you're knowing and you're preaching and you're testifying and you're worshiping every day to the saving of your friends and your family because you're moved with fear.
Right.
of the coming judgment. It's going to move you, church. Jesus, it says this, I'm moving along. He who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from the death, was heard in that he feared. You say, I want to pray like Jesus, Brother Derek. Fear God. Fear God. As my wife comes to the piano this morning, makes her way to the piano. We can look through the Bible, and I could preach for hours on this morning. I'm not going to do that because I feel that it's time to give an altar call. You said, Brother Derek, you've been mighty plain this morning, so the Holy Ghost has been playing with me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Some in this building, some need to be saved. Some need to get serious. And even us that are saved and believers, I'm not here to discourage you. I'm hearing you talking for myself, to my wife, to everybody in this church. We need a new view of God. And everything you'll do will be an act of worship. When we look at this man by the name of David, it said that it came. We know that David was a man that feared God, a man after God's own heart. And we know the story that when David was being pursued by Saul, David finds himself in a cave. Saul's laying there in front of him. Most of us, and I, Lord, have to help me. David most likely wanted to kill that man at first. I know his friends did. It's your opportunity, David. Take him out. And the Bible says, and it came to pass afterward, we know that David cut off that piece of his skirt, his garment, and it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto the man, Lord, forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. He had such a fear of God, the Holy Ghost. He had such a sensitivity. The Holy Ghost smote his heart for even just cutting off a piece of Saul's garment. Take that and hold it up by any vendetta you have. And ask the Holy Ghost what you should do. But something takes place in David's life that is disturbing. A man that felt bad for even touching and cutting off a small piece of his garment. Why is it that we find in 2 Samuel 11 and 4 that David didn't mind touching another man's wife? He went to feeling bad about touching his enemy's garment to where his heart didn't even smote him for taking another man's wife and murdering her husband. You know what that is? The absence of godly fear. I'm going to present to you today, we've become desensitized to the presence of God. Parents, teach your children to fear the Lord. Teach your children to seek the will of God above anything else in their life. To fear His opinion more than yours. Children, teenagers, those that are in their 20s, fear God. He sees it. And today I'm giving the service to the Holy Ghost because you may leave the service the same, but that's between you and God. I've preached. And it'll come up again. You better fear Him. Run to Him as a father that loves you. Run to Him. Be careful what you left in your house. Let God strengthen you. Appreciate Brother Ken and his wife. God strengthen this couple. Strengthen this couple. Holy Ghost help them. Appreciate this. Would there be another in this house today? Say, Brother Derek, I want to fear God more. I see my fault. I see my failure. I see at times that I live life like He's not even there. Some of you need to move this morning. I know what the Holy Ghost has put in my spirit. Appreciate these that are coming. But some of you know who I'm talking to, and some you know in your spirit that you feel the fear of God is dissipating in your life. And you need the Holy Ghost to awaken it. Come forward.
God, help this sister. Help Sister Abby, Lord. Give her strength. Strengthen these that are coming. These altars are open this morning. Come find your place to pray. Let the Holy Ghost use their brother Derek, your heart.